Haymaker Coffee Company was established in 2021 to create the best coffee to fuel the underdogs who perseveres, who hustles, and have the give-it-all mentality to achieve their American dream. Haymaker Coffee only roasts top quality, specialty-grade coffee beans, resulting in brews that satisfies those who demand every drop from their coffee and day. If you work hard, run hard, fight hard, and play hard, we have your coffee right here. And we're back, Stripe Show Podcast, on a Tuesday. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. I hope you had a terrific Thanksgiving break last week. We were off all week last week, took a little time, spent some time with our family, did some other things. We wanted you to miss us, so we gave you a week off, and we're back at it here this week. Looking ahead, Hero World Challenge, Tigers event, down in the Bahamas, Albany Golf Club. I'm going to give you my thoughts today, folks. I'm going to give you some thoughts on every single player today. There's only 20 players in the field, but I'm going to give you some thoughts on what we saw from this player this calendar year, and then some thoughts on who I like as far as bets for this year's tournament. Unfortunately, Tiger just announced yesterday that he will not be playing. Of course, Tiger is the host of this event, and he will not be playing in this event. Plantar fasciitis. Now, if you have ever had that in your foot, you know exactly the pain that Tiger is going through right now. And it's just another thing to add to the list, I'm sure, for Tiger. But let me tell you something. I've had it, and I had a chiropractor work on it one time. And it was at my house. He's a friend of mine. And he comes over, and he's like, yeah, I can do some things on that. Do you have a butter knife? I'm like, what? A butter knife? He goes, yeah, I need something that I can, you know, work on where it is. And it's in kind of the center of my foot where it's soft in that area. You know, not the heel and not up on the pads by the toe or just under the toes, but that soft area right there. And he gets in there and he takes this butter knife and he starts rubbing up and down my foot. And let me tell you something. I was laying on my couch and my head hit the ceiling. Excuse me. My head hit the ceiling. That's how much pain that was. And man, you get up in the morning and you those first few steps down this, I mean, forget it. I mean, I'm using the handrail. I'm like just milking my way down the stairs because the pain is, it was unbelievable. I mean, I've had, you know, bad aches in my teeth and broke my collarbone and all these things. But I think that might take the cake for as far as how much pain I was in. That was excruciating pain when he was going up and down and working it and I don't know what he was doing. I don't know what he was doing. It just hurt. But it made it feel better. I got to tell you, it made it feel better. So anyway, Tiger has that. He'll be there, of course, as the host, but he's not playing. Now, he will be playing in the match coming up, and he will be playing in the PNC father-son with Charlie, which will be great. You can take a cart. So he won't be on his feet as much. But nonetheless, we have a field there of 20, and I want to get into it here, give you some thoughts on some of these players. I mean, it's a fantastic field, of course. They're going to be there for Tiger, starting with John Rahm, who really is a bit of the overwhelming favorite at 5-1. And as we go down this list here, I want to kind of give you some thoughts on each one of these players. John Rahm has won this tournament back in 2019. And this course, real quick, it's unusual in that you've got five par fives, you've got five par threes, you've got eight par fours. I love this five par fives from time to time. I think that's fun. You know, you're going to see some shot making in the course. Anytime you have that with the best players, you're going to be making a lot of birdies. And, you know, you're going to see 18 under, 19 under, into the 20s, perhaps, depending upon the wind. These guys are going to take it pretty low. So John Rahm, you know, he's won here. And John Rahm is now starting to get his game back. I've talked a lot about John Rahm here on the podcast. We know he's elite off the tee with the driver. We know he's elite with the irons. John Rahm, of course, lost his short game, and his putter was chilly. It was interesting watching John Rahm work through the struggles of his short game. And I think the lesson here as we watch this, John Rahm, of course, one of the best players in the world. And you think about how you play, and from time to time, it's like all of a sudden, like, wow, I can't make a putt. I haven't made a putt in a month. All of a sudden, your driver's a little crooked. All of a sudden, like these things start to show up and they might linger on a little bit. Well, you're not alone. You're not alone. I mean, John Rahm, one of the best players in the world, his short game got bad. I mean, it was tough to watch. His short game was not in good shape. I think it leaked into his putting, and he's worked through that now. Of course, he wins the DP World Tour Championship Tournament. That was just last week. Rory wins the season long, of course, over there. And of course, Rory also with that is the FedEx Cup champion. What a stud. Rory is winning both of those season-long races on the two most popular tours in the world and handling what is LIV Golf off of the golf course. But Rahm is back. The putter's back. The short game is back. John Rahm will be a force. Would not be surprised one iota. I'm not going to bet him at 5-1, but no one's going to be surprised if he comes in here and wins this tournament for the second year. Now, right under him is Scotty Scheffler. He is, let's see, about 8-1 right now. Is Scheffler number two in the official World Golf rankings, I believe, right now. Cam Smith has bumped down to 3, who just won the PGA Australian Championship down in Australia. Got some official World Golf ranking points for that, as these guys will get for this field, albeit 20 people. Makes you think, right? No cut, only 20. Some World Golf ranking points here. Interesting. Scheffler, when you look at him this year, some thoughts on Scheffler here. I think one of the things that's interesting with Scotty right now, and I'm going to pull up Scotty here. We know Scotty, like Rahm, is, you know, certainly very dominant off the tee. You know, he hits that big high sweeper. You know, he's long off the tee. He's going to live in the positive strokes gain off the tee, usually +2, +3. You know, you'll see him kind of jump up to +4 from time to time. His iron game, I think, at least from my perspective, his iron game is better than I thought it would be as he transferred out to the PGA Tour, and that has led to a lot of his success. I think his short game is very good. We knew that at Texas. Excellent short game player. His putter is becoming a lingering problem right now. And what's fascinating, here's how good of a player he is from tee to green. Now listen to this, okay? Scotty Scheffler, this is how good he is from tee to green. Let's go back to the BMW back in August, where he finished 3rd. He only gained 1 stroke putting. All right. Tour championship. He lost 3.5 strokes putting. Lost 3.5 strokes and finished 2nd. Let's go back to the Houston Open where he played. He lost 2.1 putting and finished 9th. I mean, these are some of the things that we're seeing with Scotty. His putter has been pretty chilly, really, through the summer and since the last time we saw him in Texas at the Houston Open. His putter needs to pick it up. And if it does, Scotty Scheffler is going to win. From tee to green, he's elite. Will he get it this week? I'll probably pass at 8-1. Now, Finau. Let's go back to Finau here. He's number 3 on the list. Finau right there about 9-1 or 8.5-1. Finau, of course, you know, Tony Finau's got to feel great about where he is in the season that he has had. I've been critical of Tony as far as situational golf. He gets himself in situations, you know, like we saw at the Genesis when Max Homa won, the doors wide open, get it up and down in the playoff, and he couldn't do it. You know, he would do little things that would hamper him from winning, but not the case anymore. The win at the 3M Open was huge. He follows that up with another win at the Rocket Mortgage. Of course, he wins the Houston Open that I just talked about with Scotty Scheffler. So we're talking 3 wins here in the last 8 tournaments. I mean, that is 7 tournaments. Excuse me, 3 wins here in the last 7 tournaments. Once you learn how to win, the confidence goes up. I think there's a sense of, I belong here. I know how to put it away. I'm comfortable in the situation. And off he goes. And I think a lot of this with Tony, when you break down Tony's game, is that his putter has been getting better. I think Tony unfairly took on he can't putt stigma. You know, it was easy. Hey, he just can't putt. You know, he's really good off the tee. He's long. Solid iron player, good short game, but he just can't putt. I don't know. I think with Tony, it was more than that. Like, it was Tony one of the best putters on the PGA Tour? No. I mean, he hasn't been historically. He might be right now, though, the way that he's rolling the rock as of late. But I think when you weigh out, at least in my perspective, what was holding Tony back, it was just situational golf. I don't think it was like a sustained chilly putter. I mean, we've all had those tournaments, but I don't think it was a sustained chilly putter. In fact, I think Tony was improving with his putting. And I said that many times throughout the summer right here. Like, hey, I think Tony's doing just fine with the flat stick. Now, situationally, there's something there. He needs to overcome that. And he did. And he did overcome that up in Minnesota. And when he overcame that and he win, all of a sudden he's taken off. So Tony Finau, I think on a golf course like this, five par fives, you certainly got to look. And I think I'll play Tony as one of my picks at 9-1. Now, another player at 9-1 is Xander Schauffele, who I think, like Tony, has taken some steps. I think Xander, with the two wins, I think Xander has to feel like he's taken some good steps, in particularly situational golf. I don't think Xander was as comfortable as a world-class player situationally like Tony, maybe not to the degree, and maybe not highlighted as much, but you could see Xander struggle late. And I think for Xander, he has now started to take some steps in the right direction. We know Xander has the total package. Many of the players on the PGA Tour feel like Xander perhaps is the best player, maybe the most well-rounded player, off the tee, iron game, short game. I mean, he's got it all, the demeanor. But where is he situationally? And when you start separating these guys up top, these elite players like we have in this field, where are they situationally? And I think Xander, like Tony, has taken some steps. I think with Tony's length, I think with Tony's form, I'll give the nod to Tony over Xander here at 9-1. Now we go to JT. Of course, JT, great friends with Tiger. And I think when you look at JT's record here, as I pull him up, fantasynational.com, if you want some great stats, deeper stats than what you're going to get, let's say, on PGAtour.com, Fantasy National is a very good source for the highly recommended. It's a place where I do a lot of my deep research. And I think when you look at JT's season, of course, he wins the PGA Championship. He was eighth at the Masters. Not a great showing at the U.S. Open, where he was 37th. Didn't play great at the Open. He was 53rd. But he did get a major championship, right? And I think anytime you get a major championship in a season, well, you kind of have to look at it as a solid season. Didn't have any other wins, though, other than that. He finished fifth at the Tour Championship. Last time we saw him, the CJ Cup, he finished 40th, a chilly putter. But I think all in all, when he looks at the work that he's put in on his putter, because I think his putter is his opportunity to become a more consistent putter. He works with John Graham, who I'm working to get on the Stripe Show podcast once again. I think John will be a very interesting interview here in the winter. I'm going to get him on in December. He's been working with JT, I believe, for like 2 years now, just over 2 years. And I think statistically, over a large sample size, you're seeing now some growth with JT in the putter. Statistically, I think last year he was around 85th, and that's up from the low 100. So I think statistically, perhaps the putter is starting to level out, less spikes up and down with JT. We know when he gets it going and he starts to fill it up, he can go. But John Graham, I think the work they've done seems to be settling in. He's doing a nice job. If he can take those same gains again here in this next year, JT, he's going to be a factor. We know that once again. Only one win. It was a PGA Championship. Also, keep in mind, John Graham works with Adam Svensson and just started when I saw John up in Hilton Head. And we'll talk about that story and the work that he's done with Adam Svensson, who just won, and the work that he's done with JT. I think I'll pass on JT this week. And I'm really interested to watch JT and where he's at with the putter into next season, if he can continue that overall growth, as Tony Finau has done. Can JT do it? Matt Fitzpatrick is the next guy on the board, U.S. Open champ. He's 12-1. Probably going to pass on Fitzpatrick. I think it's interesting, with Fitzpatrick. I talked about the work that he put in with his body, with his speed training, using the stack system. We had Sasha McKenzie on and going through the overload, underload training and some of the things that are happening there on the PGA Tour. I'll bring more light onto that and what's happening, what the, all that means, probably once again here in December, in January with Sasha. After winning the U.S. Open, you know, just kind of hanging out, you know, fifth at the FedEx, 48th BMW, 15th at the Tour Championship, 13th at the CJ Cup. We really haven't seen too much of Matthew Fitzpatrick to this point. I think with Fitzpatrick, I think what's going to be, when I evaluate his game and I look at Fitzpatrick, we know he can get it done with the putter. We know he's accurate. I think that added distance is going to bode well for him. He's committed to that. Now he's got another off season here, if you want to call it an off season, to maybe continue to break through that governor and see how much he can get that ball speed up. But can Fitzpatrick become an elite iron player? And I put Fitzpatrick now winning the U.S. Open, all the success that he's had on the DP World Tour, I put him now in that category with a Finau, kind of this elite type of player, a name that it's not JT, it's not Spieth, it's not Rahm, it's not Rory, but it's just underneath that. I put it in there with Xander. You know, Xander hasn't won a major championship. You know, right there, Xander and Cantlay. Like, I think Fitzpatrick is starting to get up to that point, into that bottom of maybe that type of category. And what do you need to do now to break through and become a little more of that consistent winner? And I know winning's hard. And I know I'm being critical, but I think from Fitzpatrick and his team, as he looks at it, I think it's all about becoming more of an elite iron player. He's a good iron player at times, but he's not elite. And I think like the, you know, positive one, positive 0.8, positive two. Yeah, it's good. It's good. I mean, it's right there. But you know, you look at the Morikawas, major championship winner. You look at the JTs, major championship winner. You look at the Rahms, major championship winner. You look at Finau right now. He didn't win a major championship. You look at Finau right now, positive six, you know, positive five. We got to get to that elite level more consistent, I think, with the iron game with Fitzpatrick as we start to look ahead into next year. I'll probably pass this week on him, Sung J.M. I'll probably pass on him as well. I think Sungjae, you know, this time last year, he won the Shriners coming into this. Hasn't had a win since, but we know Sungjae's a consistent player, nice driver of the ball. His irons can be a little erratic from time to time, but you know, look, Sungjae, complete player on this venue. I'll probably pass as far as putting my money. Now we get down to Morikawa, who have a lot of concern with. Morikawa at 16-1. Not a great year for Colin Morikawa. The putter is an absolute mess. Now, he did just get married as of late, so maybe that's going to flip the switch. Good luck with that. But just awful with the flat stick. And we know Morikawa is an elite ball striker. We know he's an elite iron player. We know he's going to get up into the plus fives and the plus sixes. His short game tends to be good enough. But, I mean, the last two tournaments that we've seen him here in the fall, strokes gained putting, negative six both times. I mean, that is a major concern. Now, we have seen historically with Morikawa, like he can trend at negative two, negative three, and he can all of a sudden have that one week and pow, he wins. You know, where he has that one good putting week, like he did, like he did at the Open Championship, like he did at the Memorial, where he finished second. You know, coming into that week, four straight tournaments, negative 2.3, and all of a sudden, bam, positive 5.4. Like we've seen that with Morikawa. We saw it back in 2021 where he was negative 7.6 at the Genesis, then he goes to WGC Mexico and it's positive 40 wins. So, like, he can just have those weeks all of a sudden. But he's on just a bad trend now with the short game, struggled with the ball striking. All of a sudden, he couldn't get his fade back. He was just hitting it. I was like, what do you mean you can't get your fade back? I don't know. It's just some weird things happening there from Morikawa's standpoint. I think he's got to work it out. He's got to find something here Glenfiddich, the world's most awarded single malt Scotch whiskey, is expertly crafted and made with extraordinary care. Each single malt is a work of perfection.
From a consistency standpoint, I worry about that with him. His iron game, you know, you don't worry about that stuff. His short game, you know, not elite, but I don't worry about that. That putter just, my God, it just feels like it's going the wrong way. Yes, he's going to have some good weeks, but it just feels like overall, it's getting worse. I skipped Hovland. Sorry, Victor Hovland. Can't skip him. He's won here before. Hovland, you know, you look at his season, and, you know, I've talked about Victor Hovland a lot here. You know, you certainly got to look him at you certainly got to pay attention to here this week. He obviously knows this course, has played very well here. He also had a win back in Mayakoba. That was his last full field win back in 2021. You know, you go through this season, you know, look, I think overall I've been probably a little critical of Hovland on this season. Yes, I know there's some top 10s in there. Yes, I know there's some top 5s in there. 5th at the Zozo, 4th at the Open Championship. He was 9th at the Players, 2nd at Arnold Palmer. You know, you're going to have those things, and he can wow you off the tee, and he can hit amazing iron shots, and his putter can be a little up and down, but he can fill it up at times. But I think all this time that he's put in these wholesale changes to his short game, it just hasn't been there. Like, the results haven't been there. It's been a significant amount of time that he's put into these changes with his short game. And I think the technique is much improved in the way that he's rotating the face and the way that he's using the bounce. But it hasn't stacked up. Now, he was positive at the CJ Cup, positive 3 around the greens, positive at the BMW. But just overall, I just feel, I don't know, he's such a world-class player. I just feel like he's got to look at that and make, man, the results haven't been there yet. Just haven't been there with the amount of time I'm putting in to this short game. So can he continue to push that forward? And I think at this event, the 5 par 5s, you've got to look at Morikawa. You've got to look at Hovland. I certainly like Hovland more than I do Morikawa. But I think in these teens range, I'm going to go with Tom Kim. Why not? You know, I think I'll give you Finau in the short odds. We get into the high teens here. Tom Kim at 18-1. He's won twice on tour here as of late. I mean, just what a story. What a stud this young man is. And I think what I like the most about Tom Kim is he's approachable. He's got a smile on his face. He articulates. He laughs. He shows you a little something. I love everything about this young man. Now, I know it's his first time here at Albany, and this will be a learning curve for him. But as I go back to what I was saying in the iron game, look, you've got to be elite at something on the PGA Tour to be up there as far as these names that we're talking about. Preferably, I'd say you'd be elite iron player. If I had to pick one, be an elite iron player, and Tom Kim is. I mean, that's where he's at. He is a fantastic, folks, iron player. And that's why you're seeing him so consistently up there, because he gives himself a lot of really good looks. Elite iron player, much better than average driver. Not real long, but keeps it in front of him. And then he just lasers with the iron. Short game is fine. Putter, little up and down, but he has shown, I think with all of this, he has shown that he is terrific situationally. And I love that. I love that, especially with a young player. Maybe he doesn't even know any different. But when the moment gets big, Tom Kim elevates. And I love that. And I'm going to go ahead and bet him here at 18-1. My boy, Tommy Kim, Max Homa, just had a baby at 20-1. I think a few thoughts on Max Homa this year. I think when you look at some of the most improved players, you got to put Max Homa in there. You know, sometimes there's just those coach-player relationships that make sense, that work. Him and Mark Blackburn have been a great team. Mark Blackburn's done a great job with them. If you didn't see that podcast, you need to go back and look at it. Had Mark on about a month ago. It was fantastic. Max Homa has become a well-rounded player. You know, he's a sneaky long off the tee. He's a very good iron player. He's become, I think, a much improved and better than average short game player. His putter has gotten better. And I think with that, he's become he's kind of showcased how good he is situationally. I think Max Homa's got a little bit of a dog in him. I think he is very good situationally down the stretch. He can put tournaments away, as we've seen. And I think as his game has become more rounded, we're going to continue to see him in those moments. And I think the next step now for Max Homa is going to be, can he do it in major championships? I mean, that's the next step. He's been great in all these other tournaments and the growth, but he needs now to become more of a consistent factor in major championships and eventually put one of those away, which would then take him completely up to that top level. I'm going to pass this week with Homa, but I love where his game is going. Shane Lowry's interesting. I think Shane Lowry at 20-1, you start looking at the model that I built where I bring in the strokes gained par five, strokes gained par threes with five of those. You weigh out strokes gained approach accordingly, strokes gained off the tee, opportunities gained. And you start looking at, let's say, the last 50 rounds in all of this. And where is he? Where'd he go? Shane Lowry is fourth. Shane Lowry is fourth in the last 50 rounds. Now, Lowry hasn't won on the PGA Tour this year, but he did win the BMW Championship back in September on the DP World Tour. So he's got a win there over there. I'm kind of on the fence here with Lowry. Yeah, I feel like I should sprinkle a little here. He's Shane Lowry in this field, last 50 rounds, no one's taking care of the par fives more than he has. No one's getting, only one person is getting more looks than he is from an opportunities gain standpoint, and that's Xander Schauffele. His strokes gain approach has been fantastic. You know, he might have a little wind out there. All right, why not? I'm sprinkling a little bit on Shane Lowry, folks. A little bit to Lowry, 20-1 to win. Why not? Fleetwood in the field. Fleetwood, speaking of DP World Tour champion or wins, he won the Nedbank Golf Championship or Nedbank Golf Challenge on the DP World Tour a couple weeks ago, I believe, 2-3 weeks ago. Very emotional win for him. Love Fleetwood, but I'm going to pass this week. Cameron Young at 20-1. I mean, Cameron Young's done everything except win a tournament. This year, love Cameron Young. The win is coming. I predicted that the win would happen before Will Zalatoris, and it didn't. I lost that bet. But this boy can play, man. Let me tell you something. You know, I was on him coming out. I said, watch out for this guy. He's long off the tee. He can be an elite iron player. He can putt. And we saw a run of great golf. Third at the Heritage, second at Wells Fargo, third at the PGA, second at the Open, second at Rocket Mortgage. Now, he hasn't been as clean as late as we saw him two times in October, 23rd at the CJ, 53rd at Zozo. Of course, he was 19th in the Tour Championship. Probably going to pass, but Cameron Young's going to win. I predict Cameron Young wins in the first third of the PGA Tour season next year. Between January and March, Cameron Young will win. Got to. Just too damn good. Going to pass, okay, but stud, right? Told you that when he's coming out. You've seen it. He's done everything he can. And it's not like he's faded away. I mean, he's just kind of gotten beat. But it's going to happen very, very soon. Another boy I told you about when he was coming out was Sammy Burns at 20-1. Two wins this year. My boy, Sam Burns, you know, he's just got to look at this season and feel, you know, great. You know, he's an elite iron player. He's an elite putter. His short game, I think for the most part, showed some good signs as of late, not so much. You know, one of the things we see with Sam once in a while that concerns me, I think, And I know his coach, Brad Pullen, very well, is he'll get a little too up and down with the driver. Like the lead arm will just start kind of getting a little too up and down, and then he seems to kind of be hitting, you know, he'll kind of fan it a little bit. And when he's managing that well, when the driver and he's managing that well and that lead arm is in a good spot, I think it just kind of runs right through the bag. Yeah, that noise in the backdrop, they're just finishing upstairs, by the way, sorry. Hopefully it's not too loud coming across. But Sammy Burns, I'm going to pass this week, which is hard for me. He's usually an automatic bet. One Charles Schwab, one Valspar. Haven't seen a lot of them. First time here, I'll probably pass on the win ticket here. Now, remember, there's only 20 people, so I'm just giving you some names that I'm going to pick. Jordan Spieth has played pretty well here over the years. Three times he's been here, 22-1, T3, T6, and fourth. You know, I had a conversation with someone about Spieth, and they're like, yeah, you know, Spieth's back. You know, he got back in the winner's circle. We see him a lot more. He's back. I was like, yeah, I think Spieth is certainly much more back than where we saw him there for 3 years when he was really struggling. And I think he has to feel good about those things. But this isn't anywhere near the consistent and the same version of Jordan Spieth that we saw through just incredible dominant play where he won three major championships. He's never, I don't think, going to be that same version of himself, but I think we'll see glimpses of it. And it's just when you do, can you get on the right side of that with the tournament? Because we know Spieth situationally is... he's certainly one of the best. I mean, situationally in the hunt, time to go win, little dog in him, you know, sign me up for some Jordan Spieth. I think he is back. I think it's going to be a little erratic and it's not going to be the same elite level, consistent version of Jordan that we saw back in 2017. You know, back in 2018, you look at him statistically, yes, his driver no longer was in the dumpster, right? And he was able to figure out the driver and go to the cut. His iron game, you know, kind of came back with it. And I think what's interesting with Spieth is, you know, he can get a little erratic, I think, here as of late with the putter. You know, and you go back to his struggles and when he was chasing some distance, you know, what really put him in the hole is when he lost the putter. And I think now as we see him kind of work himself out of the hole, and I give him so much credit for working himself out of this and reverse engineering what he did with the swing and all that. But I think the inconsistency, it's easy just to label it with speed. The driver, right? It's the driver. And I think you'll still see some of that from time to time. But I really think it's probably more of the putter and the lapses in the putter that comes in and maybe kind of filters into some of the other parts of the game where the inconsistency comes in a little bit with Jordan Spieth. He doesn't make those 15-footers at anywhere near the clip that he used to. That short miss lingers from time to time, and I think that just has a trickle-down effect. I'm going to pass on Spieth this week, but wouldn't be surprised if he comes out and wins by three. Corey Connors, Corey Connors, 25-1, Billy Horschel, 28-1. Look, Corey Connors is, we know who Corey Connors is, right? We know Corey Connors is very good off the tee. He's excellent with his irons, but he's just sub average around the green and on the green. I hope Corey Connors can find some more consistent growth around the green and on the green. And I think there's been signs of that at times. But for him now, Corey Connors to be elevated, I think, into the Xander Schauffele category. And I don't put Corey Connors in. Corey Connors is definitely below that. But I think to really take Corey Connors serious and get him into that next level, he's got to find something more consistently around the green and on the green. I'm not going to play him to win here in this field. But let me tell you something. When Connors gets it going, ball striking wise, he's must-watch TV. If you go to a tournament and he's hitting his irons on the range, you should go watch it. He is just an absolute stripe show. Billy Horschel, 25-1. Just a Billy Horschel type of season, right? You know, you've got a lot of made cuts. You've got he gets in contention in there, you know, clips off some top 20s, and then all of a sudden, he wins a big tournament like the Memorial. And Billy Horschel gets a lot out of his game. He understands his game. He plays his game, and he just makes a ton of money. And when he gets in the hunt situational and he's got his game where he wants it, he wins. He's got a little of that dog in him. Love watching Billy, especially when he's in contention. And he's handled a lot off the tee this year with all of his LIV discussion and growth. He's been right out in front with that. couple Bulldogs to finish it up. Sepp Straka, Kevin Kisner. I'll pass on them. Nice season, though, for Sepp. Kisner, you know, Kisner is what he is. You know, he can compete on certain courses, not on others. But Straka's been a nice surprise. You know, I spent some time with him at Hilton Head. Big guy, hits that little tumbling draw. You know, he's been, I think, a bit of a nice surprise this season with the way that he has elevated his game and transferred it to the PGA Tour. Of course, so many of these Georgia Bulldogs can do that. They come out and they have success. But yeah, the win at the Honda, that was impressive. 30th at the Master, even 9th at the Players, keep in mind. But I think as of late, you know, you look at Sepp, he's kind of one of those, the one thing with Straka, he's one of those guys, when he loses it for a month. You know, he'll run off some missed cuts, then he'll come back and then he finds it. And all of a sudden he's 2nd at the FedEx and he's 7th at the Tour Championship, you know, and then he loses it. And in the last 3 tournaments he's played in, he's missed the cut all 3. So, you know, it's kind of feast or famine with Sepp's track. I'll probably pass on him this week. So my bets here where I'm going to go, you know, give me some Finau. I'll be a homer. I'll ride that hot train. Give me some Tom Kim. Give me some Shane Lowry. You know what? Give me some Sam Burns. Yes, give me some Sammy Burns. Not going to stop now. End of the season. He's an automatic bet for me. Those are my 4. You can't go wrong with John Rahm. Just not playing him at 5-1. Just not doing it. Watch that putter with Scheffler, folks. I'm telling you. He's got to find some stuff there. He's struggling with that flat stick. Morikawa struggling with that flat stick. A couple things to look at in the next season. And I think the last thing I'll finish up with is, fingers crossed with Xander not going to LIV. I hope he doesn't go. I've been watching LIV. Look, there's some things I like about it, some things I don't. But there's one person in this field that I would say who could be the next to go. I think it'd be Xander, and hopefully he doesn't. All right, that's it. Back tomorrow. Phil Kenyon, one of the top putting coaches on the PGA Tour, will be joining us. We're working on John Graham, getting him in on the following week. Lots of good stuff. We're back in the saddle. Stripe Show Podcast. Thank you for being here. See you next time.
PXG has done it again with the launch of a new lineup of drivers, fairways, hybrids, and irons. The new Gen 5 golf clubs deliver significantly increased MOI, faster ball speeds, longer distances, and tighter dispersions, all coupled with the exceptional feel and sound golfers have come to expect from PXG. Schedule your custom fitting or buy online at pxg.com.